second. There's a breeze up here. And it got that. But see, if I had left the mic up there, I wouldn't be able to walk over here and get my bulletins. How about that? You're going fancy. Okay. Well, friends, back to Psalm 139, as I promised. The first 18 verses. Join with me in hearing. I don't know if anybody brought the Bible with them, but if you did, you're welcome to join me. The Psalm 139, verse 18, hear the word of God. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar away. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed to Sheol, and Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there, your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as day to you, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all my days, all the days that were formed for me, when none of them yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. The word of the Lord, my friends. Thank you. give hope to keyboards, Curtis. It sounds pretty good. Our second lesson today from the New Testament is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6 and 25 through 32. Again, I invite you to hear the word of God. Paul says, I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you're called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, and so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you are marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Sometimes I'll admit Paul's kind of hard to read, but then he's also a joy. The body is a good thing until it isn't. No, that is a bit of an oversimplification. But George Burns captured some of the spirit of this, I think, when he said later in his years that when I was young, I was called a rugged individualist. When I was in my 50s, I was considered eccentric. Here I am doing and saying the same things I did then, and I'm labeled senile. Yeah, that quote made me laugh too. I'm old enough to remember George Burns. In 30 years, I too might be told to remember him, though. I don't know. The body is a wonderful and amazing miracle. The body also, however, comes with challenges, shortcomings, problems, and issues. We do get older. And whether or not we try to prevent it, we do get weaker and less able, and through life we suffer injuries and illnesses and that undermine our bodies, the way we care for ourselves or don't care the way we should determines how our bodies do in our later years. And then there's plain old genetics, you know, and DNA. And, well, basically, none of us looks the way we did in our teens or early 20s. Life does a number on us as we age. By no means, though, am I trying to say that somehow we are worth less or less beautiful or less wonderful as aging people inhabiting bodies. In many ways, I think we could say we are more so as we get older. But life in the body gets to be harder and harder as we grow older and we suffer the things of life. I know this is no great revelation to you. A good number of you live with this every day in a way that I can only begin to imagine. But I want to talk today about how it is we can live in our bodies as sisters and brothers in Christ, specifically in Jesus' own body, the oldest one around. In fact, imagine that at least a few of you have been a member of something throughout your life, at some point in your life. You may still be a member of something, a club or association or a league or all these things, you name it. Of course, a great number of you are members of this church's congregation. You are part of this church body. But have you ever stopped to wonder about the use of the word member when it is talking about being associated with something? For instance, when the Bible speaks of being members of something, you heard that in Ephesians, it's literally speaking about us as physical body parts. Okay? That's the word that's used in the New Testament. That's what it literally means. Members, as we might say, our arms or legs are members of our body. You know, we still today in English, you know, if you lose a body part, you are dismembered, right? My sense, however, is that we don't use the word member very often these days to refer to our appendages. But that is exactly the usage. Over the years, we have devolved that idea to people who are affiliated somehow with a group. So you can see the significance of that word has been eroded over the generations. In the days past, I expect, when more emphasis was placed on real allegiance to, say, service organizations or civic clubs, the word member may have carried more of the original weight. You're actually truly expected to be there in a connected way to a group, and it's harder to get away. Nowadays, we are a fairly disconnected people, certainly less member-like. When we think about how we're associated with others, people jump in and jump out of member situations, cutting ties or making new ones, depending on which way the wind's blowing. Don't like your pastor? Well, just leave the church family, right? Maybe go start a new church. Well, don't do that, but it's an example. Upset about the way that your club is going? Hey, just stop going. It's easier than try to work through the things that you don't like. We call our family people members, right? Members of families. But even in families, it seems easier to sever relationships with one another and for these people that we should love the most. We have completely divorced the significance of being a member from its original meaning of being as body parts connected in one body. And honestly, this is to our detriment, because this is part of the very value of the gospel. Paul is adamant and committed to the fact that we are literally members of one another in Christ Jesus. Last week, we considered the original Pentecost story and the community that was created in the Holy Spirit, and how God's Spirit brought people together into a shared space of worship and fellowship. And that's great. We absolutely need that. But if we stop there, we miss the grace that actually and literally links us in Christ. Being part of Christ's actual body, the body of Christ, is no small thing. It's no trivial idea. It's no just church lingo, right? This is a deep and abiding reality in our life together. This is our goal as people of faith, according to Paul. speaking on behalf of Jesus. We're not just a bunch of individuals making our way through life, a bunch of free, loosely associated spirits working on our way to salvation, but we are one people, one community, one literal body. You are connected to me and I to you. If you want to cut your ties to someone else as sisters and brothers in Christ, you should think about it with the same severity of cutting off one of your actual body parts. God has provided us connections here to work on a shared life, the opportunity to become more and more the body of believers in Jesus that we are meant to be. You know, certainly there are times to make divisions, but the unity that we're working towards should be our chief goal, and we should guard our oneness as we guard our own physical health. We are trying to build up a very real spiritual body. Being a body in Christ Jesus is especially useful for one simple reason. Jesus is no longer here in the flesh doing ministry in our midst. So, his ability to physically minister in our midst is directly tied to one thing: us. Just appreciate how incredibly profound that idea is. It's no wonder that Jesus predicted we would do more and greater things than he did during his life. Imagine how many lifetimes have followed his, how many different lifespans have worked together in his spirit, how many ministries have been carried out in his grace in the nearly 2,000 years that have followed his death and resurrection. Unless we are his physical presence still doing in this world, you know, we are. The body of Christ is powerful in the presence of God. When you add up all that we've done in these centuries to advance the kingdom of God and the grace and power of our Lord and the blessing of the Spirit, it's amazing the good that we have done. Yes. We've struggled a bit too. Life in the body is a life of struggle. And that's a lot of what Paul has to say. You might remember him talking about the fruits of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. Being a people in the body makes all of this very real, very relevant, very relatable, very relational. Something else we have to consider. As we appreciate what it means to be parts of the same body, is the health of the body, the care of other parts, our own care, and how we can build each other up. Imagine how broad and vast this body expands. We cannot for a moment forget our connected brothers and sisters in faraway lands. We must always do everything we can to work for their success and health and future. If something happens to them, it affects us more than we realize. The same Jesus that makes us one feels our losses as well as our joys. We should not want any of our parts to disappear from neglect. Our investment in ministries both here and around the world are crucial to our service in Jesus Christ. There's probably something that all of us would change about our own physical bodies. I doubt any of us are perfectly pleased and satisfied with everything. When I showed up for church work in Southside, Virginia in 2003, my hair was black. And I had more of it. Vanity aside, we have all learned to deal with limitations and imperfections of being people in bodies. The same goes for being the body of Christ. There are going to be parts of the body that we might not like so much. Parts that might even really cause us concern. But there is a reason we share one body. Jesus has brought us here for a reason, and he does provide room enough and grace enough and love enough to be together if we are open to him. Finally, as we celebrate Holy Communion in a few minutes, and every time we celebrate communion, we are doing that as one people, feeding our body that connects us. It is our food of faith, the willingness to share in this meal of our Lord as a spiritual body. We're never just feeding ourselves, living for ourselves, blessing ourselves, looking after ourselves. We belong to Jesus. This means we also belong to each other because we're part of the same body. We need to nourish and be nourished. We also need to nourish each other. This, friends, is a great Pentecost promise. This is a great power of the gospel. This is a great vision of the gospel for Paul. This is the good news itself. It is a good thing to be a part of the body of Christ, but it is even better to be able to be a part with all of you and with all of our members here and everywhere. To God be the glory. Amen.